If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
So explain what Canines for Cops is and what you were able to achieve.
We give dogs to law enforcement agencies. We have removed to date $8 billion in contraband. Billion with a B. We just had a bust here in Texas, $130 million worth of fentanyl. It was enough to kill 90 million people.
You talk about firearms. Is it about the smell of the gunpowder? How would they alert the school shooting? Did those schools have a canine?
We're protecting 2.5 million kids a day. We've never gotten 1 cent from the federal government or the state government. $20,000 or $25,000, I mean, split that up to what that is a day in a school, that's
and
nothing.
And then preventing the losing a life of a child.
Absolutely. Right.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. I'm really excited to bring you this episode today. I've always wondered about canines, meaning the dogs that are used in the police department. I wanted to know the truth about them, about how they're trained, about what they do when they go home, about how they can really sniff out things like lithium batteries, which is what I read, versus bomb sniffing dogs or dogs who are just trained to attack. You know, they just let them go and they kind of jump on someone and get them restrained, right? I mean, I just had a lot of questions. And so I went down a rabbit hole of looking up experts online, and I found this really interesting woman, and I became kind of obsessed with knowing more about her. So I was so lucky to have been able to get in touch with her and bring her here. Christy Haas Schiller. She's an influential American philanthropist, entrepreneur, and founder of Canines for Cops, a nonprofit organization that provides law enforcement agencies and schools with specifically trained canine units to aid in public safety. The organization addresses the high costs associated with training and acquiring police dogs, which can range from $10,000 to $45,000 per dog. Since its founding in 2010, Canines for Cops has donated hundreds of canines across the United States and has expanded its efforts to help agencies worldwide. Schiller, who's originally from Texas, was inspired to start the nonprofit after learning about the challenges law enforcement agencies face in securing funding for canine units, especially when they lose their companion. Her efforts have supported not only police departments, but also school districts and universities, which I'm so excited for you to hear all about. Her work has led to numerous accolades, and her organization has helped prevent crimes, detect illegal substances at a level you will not believe, and ensure safety at major events. Apart from Canines for Cops, Schiller is known for her active involvement in various charitable initiatives, focusing on public safety, animal welfare, and community support. Her dedication to her community and impact on public safety has positioned her as a significant figure in the realm of philanthropy and public service. I'm really excited for today's episode. Please sit back and listen to Christy Haas Schiller.
Thank you.
Christy, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. It's such an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.
So I first came across you on Instagram, and I don't know what clip it was in particular, but it was something relating to a cop who had lost his canine in the line of duty. And I think it, and I'll have you tell the story later, but how it came to pass that you created canines for cops. And it brought me to tears watching it. And I didn't know anything about your story, didn't know anything about his story, but watching the attachment he had to this dog, who we see as civilians as these dogs that probably have no feeling, you know, and the cops that you didn't realize had such a close bond. I mean, he couldn't get through his sentence.
No, he couldn't.
What that felt like to lose his partner. And I was like, I need to know more about this. So I went through the rabbit hole of looking down more of these pages, and I saw you and how impressed I was with what you do now, which I want to get to and talk about because it's so interesting. But the more I read about you, the more I found you personally fascinating and what got you this point. So for listeners who don't know, I want to kind of do an introduction first to your background, where you come from, and kind of how, you know, how your young adult life was shaped, if that's okay.
Well, gosh, I don't know if we have that much time on this podcast, but I grew up in a small town, Texas Gulf Coast, about 2 hours south of Houston. Literally on a shipyard on the beach. And just my family was very philanthropic before we knew what it was today, you know, more like about giving your time and always giving back. And, you know, that you'll never go poor giving yourself or your heart to somebody else.
Right.
And so I always had a passion for helping others and sat on a lot of different boards. And I was married and just recently got divorced. And I sat on a lot of, I think something like a dozen different boards 15 years ago and did all the corporate wife things you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And my little girl, she was at a formidable age, you know, let's say 3 years old. And I knew everything I did, you know, that was that, if you can remember that sweet age when our girls were toddlers, they mimicked everything you did.
Sure.
So I knew that going forward, my child's going to be watching, you know, what's my parents' passions? What do they care about? You know, what drives our household?
Right.
And my husband had asked me the night before Christmas, he said, hey, what do you want for Christmas? It's tomorrow. And I'm like, you had 364 days to figure it out. I mean, he said, well, you want a pair of earrings or something? And I said, not really. And so now I'm one of those that write me a letter.
Yeah.
You know, if
do something that meet you,
do something that if, yeah, I'm going to keep up with that possession. And if my house was burning down, I'd rush in to get those things. So the macaroni art, all the things that somebody put their time and effort and thought about me while they were doing it. And as I'm watching the news and I'm semi pouting, you know, over Christmas, I see a gentleman that is completely broken up and he's wearing a uniform, obviously law enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. And he said, I came in the middle of the story, but he said, Bleck gave his life to save mine. He did what he was trained to do. And I hope his death won't be in vain.
Hmm.
And I'm, you know, what in the world happened? Well, there were some, burglars that were going in to patio homes and stealing Christmas presents and electronics and things when people would leave to go to parties. Mm-hmm. So they'd gotten this ring of like, you know, six guys in their 20s. They had a perimeter around this like country club and area. And he sent his dog in, mm-hmm. and they killed the dog and choked it. And, you know, he had a vest on that stating what he was. Of course, they claim they didn't know he was a police canine. And he was trying to, the officer was trying to call his officer, I mean, call the dog off, and there was a helicopter overhead, a news crew. And so they were getting down so low that he couldn't call the dog. Nobody could hear him. And so his boss comes out of this wooded area and he's just holding his leash. And he said he didn't make it. And this, I mean, I never met the dog, I never met the officer. I was in tears just in 45 seconds that I was watching this. And I said, you know what? I just figured out what I want for Christmas. I said, I want to give him a dog to supplement his loss. And I didn't know what department it was. Now, Houston is one of the largest cities in the United States. I didn't realize how many different entities we had. You know, Metro Police, you have your city police, you have your sheriffs, you have constables, you have marshals, school police. I had no idea there was so many different avenues. And I mean, I was a little ignorant to the fact that I just assumed if they had a purchase order, I pay my taxes, they just go get another dog. And but I wanted to do something special. I didn't want the recognition, but this man was obviously suffering. And he looked like he was about my age. And I thought, you know, he's probably got children my child's age. How's he going to tell them when he gets home? You know, daddy does a scary job, but the dog, you know, that you were playing with yesterday isn't going to get to come home anymore. And all these stories just kept running through my mind. And I called the governor's office and I said, I saw this on TV and I don't know like what department it was, but I want to get in touch with them to, you know, supplement their loss. And the governor's chief of staff said, you can't give and decide where that money goes. In other words, it goes to a general fund. So if, you know, if that were the case, somebody giving $100 may say, this can only go to Firestone tires that you use on the left side of the vehicle. I mean, people will make all these crazy, you know, asks. And he said, they just can't keep up with the administration of it all. So if you donate, just be prepared. It's going to go to a general fund. I said, okay. Well, I thought, well, I'll just find out where they get the dogs and, you know, purchase it that way. And then they can just pick out whatever they need. And they said, again, it doesn't work that way. It has to go before the commissioner's court. They have to have permission. They're going to have to, even though it wasn't the officer's fault, you know, they still have to close this one. And I thought, it's probably $1,000 for a dog, maybe two. I mean, I had no idea. Well, they're not. They're a lot more, anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000. And I just said, I can't let this rest on me. I can't be just flippant or pragmatic. It was haunting me that, you know, that my taxes inevitably are going to go up. But now there's one less dog or handler working on the street. Is that how that works? And I said, well, I said, no, I mean, that's exactly how it works. And so the governor's office said, wait, why don't you just either send the money to us and we'll find the department, which kind of didn't do that much for me, or find a charity that does this and just donate one in his name. They said, this department has a lot of money. And I said, wait, what did you say? They said, well, they don't really need the money because it's a pretty fluid department. And I said, Warren Buffett needs money to be Warren Buffett. I've never heard of any government agency saying, please don't send us a donation. We're so wealthy, we don't need it. I said, that's crazy. Well, I started doing some searching and realized how many small departments were having bake sales and car washes and things like this just to raise money. And they've been raising for 5 years only to cover a half a dog.
Wow.
And I'm like, that is insanity to me. How do you expect anybody to fight the war on crime? Or the, we live 3 hours from the border. So in other words, this is, you're talking 15 years ago, but it
Right.
was an issue then. And I thought, how are you supposed to fight the cartel that has endless funds if you don't even give these officers the tools they need? This is insanity. I just
Right.
can't believe that this is what's happening today. So I started digging around and I said, I have to start something. And again, I sat on a lot of boards. I had never started a charity. And if I'd known how political it was going to be, I probably still would have done it, but I would have at least been a little more aware. And, it's really funny because I didn't really have many relationships with police officers. There was no law enforcement in my family. I just knew what everybody else knew. If you had an emergency, this is who you called. And I always admired them, and first responders for what they did, but I didn't have an immediate law enforcement. And that is a whole nother education in itself. And so I've really had to learn as I've gone along. And I thought to myself, someone asked me when I first started, what's your end goal? And I said, well, maybe one day, in a few years, we'd be able to supplement outside of Houston, and I could even give one to Austin or Dallas or somewhere. Well, it was 60 days after we started. We were in Dubuque, Iowa, and now we're in 40 states, Paris, France, and we've even gifted one to Africa.
Wow. Okay, so explain what Canines for Cops is then and what you were able to achieve with that.
Okay, so Canines for Cops, again, we give dogs to law enforcement agencies, schools, school resource officers. And so that is an initiative of ours called Canines for Kids. And after Sandy Hook, I said, why is someone not, people are coming back from serving overseas. They don't want to be the next Mark Cuban or Michael Dell or Jerry Jones. They want to keep serving and protecting.
That's right.
So why are we not putting officers with dogs, veterans even in schools? This is crazy.
Wow.
So I started 2 years after I started Canines for Cops, started Canines for Kids the month after Sandy Hook. And then recently we started a new initiative called Canines for Cop, Canines for Care. And we put dogs in hospitals. And when I started realizing how nurses and first responders were being abused really during COVID, on the front line, and people were just losing their minds.
Right.
And or maybe they'd come into the hospital and they'd be on some kind of drug. And these nurses were getting stitches while they were at work. And they were like, and we don't have time to take care of ourselves or our coworkers because we're working double shifts because people are coming in and they're dying from COVID.
Right.
And these dogs can sniff out, they're just amazing. Their noses are 500,000 times stronger than a human's.
Right.
And
It's incredible. Have you listened to the podcast Uncomfy, sticking with moments that challenge us? Real stories from guests who dared to get uncomfortable in a moment that challenged their worldview. In the thick of intense emotions, they chose to stay curious and open rather than lash out or shy away, and came out the other side with stronger relationships, clearer beliefs, and increased confidence. And you can do it too. Part real life stories, part conflict coaching, and self-improvement. So if you want to engage with others on important topics but aren't sure how, or are burnt out on social media and wish you could bring the humanity back into discussions online or real life, look no further. Learn how to improve your communication, disagree more productively, and be an inspired leader. In such a polarized world, learning how to stick with moments that challenge us without getting defensive or shutting down is a direct antidote for division. When you listen to this podcast, you will hear how others are healing their communities, families, and neighborhoods, learning to talk about what matters to them, working to view others as humans so we can build a better world together. Each episode models the mental health principles of MBSR. That's mindfulness-based stress reduction. Non-judging, patience, beginner's mind, trust, non-striving, acceptance, letting go. Recent stories include disrespected at the pool, she decided to confront the culprits. When one word threatened a work partnership. As a kid in Iran, she was taught to hate Jews. Then she defended one in court. He thought his comment was harmless. Then he got written up. If you're interested in any of this, take a listen to Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us, a podcast. This episode is brought to you by Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess has been such a trusted resource for me on my health journey. One product I really wanted to highlight is their Holistic Menopause Support by PhD Health. It's been a game changer for me during perimenopause, and here's why I love it. It eases discomfort. It really helps with hot flashes and mood swings. It boosts focus. The ingredients in it, including creatine, support mental sharpness. I feel more focused and clear-headed, which is so important for my busy days. It nurtures comfort. It gently addresses vaginal dryness with black cohosh. It's comforting to have that support during this time. It has natural ingredients. I love that it uses these ingredients like sage and rhubarb extract. If you're going through similar changes like perimenopause and menopause, I highly recommend giving this a try. It's been a relief for me, and I think it could help you too. Go to holisticgoddess.com and use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com for 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD. Code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com for 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Okay, wait. So I want to go back to the logistics for a second. So by creating canines for cops, you were able to get around the red tape of being able to donate these dogs to the police department.
Yes.
And then you were able to expand that to different cities.
Yes. So we give, so of the close to 400 now that we've gifted, like I said, it's schools, police departments, and then we give the dog and then their training that they have to make sure that they're up to standard and up to par. And then we keep up with their career throughout. So if you're a donor and you donate a dog, you get a report card.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it says, okay, you've purchased this dog in Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. And by the way, here's your end of year, you know, report. And he's taken 50 kilos of cocaine that has the equivalent of this many million dollars. Granny was lost on a silver alert that has dementia, but he found Granny. She's reunited with her family. or you put this dog in these schools. And by the way, we were able to take, randomly 100 guns this
Right.
year, whatever that dog's resource is. And then they get a report card on their run on investment.
So that's so amazing because it's like what you were talking about before. You didn't want to just hand your money over and not know
Right. It's
when. You
not
get to
certainly that I
see.
didn't trust our governor's office. It just wasn't, I knew they weren't going to have the same passion.
You're right. And so you're able to see as a donor where your money is actually going, what crimes
Right.
it's preventing, stopping, protecting kids. I think that's such a commendable thing. It's such a great
They
way to
can
follow.
name their own dog. And we have some families that are like, okay, this year we want to give another dog. Can you tell us? Like, we have close to 500 applications right now pending.
Meaning
That's from departments or from
departments, yeah.
schools. I
Wow.
mean, why do we have that?
Right.
I mean,
So, and I want to get into that. And by the way, this doesn't mean that somebody has to show up with a check for $25,000 or $50,000.
No. They can give $5. I mean,
Right.
it's we have some people that every month it takes, we have a student wrote me the other day and he says, I've been donating to you since you came and gave a demo to our class in second grade.
Oh,
Now
wow.
I'm in college and he said $10 a month. And we make sure, we send a kid's a Canines for Kid clear backpack. We send them some coloring books, some, depending on what the age group
Right.
is. We go into the schools. Do you remember, Rachel, when you were little and McGruff
Yeah,
ever
of course.
came into your school
Yeah.
and like, just say no and things like that? So if somebody says, we've had a whole elementary school raise money and give a dog. And
Oh.
so then let they say, Canine Fuzzy, and they all get to name him.
Right.
We'll come to their, is at their school, and if their class does something special, they may get to bathe him that day
Oh
or
my God.
that week. So he hangs out with them a little more,
Right. Oh my God, I
and
love it.
they feel safe. I mean, it's a lot of foster kids. They don't want to talk to another administrator, that's maybe separated them from their siblings because they have a parent that's in jail. And, so the guidance counselor is trying to talk to them about, what's happening at your foster house. Well, they're
Right.
like, why would I tell you? The words, you're already separating us. They're mad, but they don't know who they're mad at.
Right.
And so with that time in a room with a dog, they're singing like a bird and they feel safe.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the common misconceptions that people have about these canines in the police department. I'm not sure that people really understand why that and how they are so important. And people really miss the mark on really seeing why it's important to have canines. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. So, but canines, I always say, this is the best worker that you want to have. They never ask for a day of vacation. They never say, I took an Ambien last night and I'm kind of feeling, hungover or Benadryl or had too much red wine. They work for the love of a tennis ball. That's it. I mean, and they don't care who your daddy is, how much money you have, or if you're Republican or Democrat. They just want to get in there and get the reward, which is a treat or a tennis ball or, whatever. And the misconception is that all dogs, they'll come in and they'll bite and they're there to hurt. And that's not true at all. I mean, some of these dogs are so social. Now, there's different dogs for different situations, but they are. They're such a great community relations tool because then you'll get to somebody in town and you'll say, oh my gosh, I was part, I raised, $20 washing cars when I was in high school to donate towards that dog. And it's just, I see the bonds that brings together. And a lot of my officers would never have a reason to interact with community events. And, you know, we'll have other nonprofits or things like that call all the time. We've got five dogs at Texas A&M University that sniffs out for firearm explosions, explosives and firearms. Mm-hmm. And the people now that come to football games, you're talking 110,000 people in one venue on a Saturday in the South. And yeah. where guns are pretty rampant here. I mean, you know, move to Texas. They'll give you one when you get here. But God forbid you need an abortion.
Right.
Might want to take that out. But these people say, hey, I saw canine Aggie, or I saw canine Maze, or did people feel a connection? Do you mind? Can I stop and take a picture? You know, I know the founder, or can I post this on Facebook? And just the camaraderie that it brings together and how much safer people feel. There's no machinery that's made that can duplicate what these dogs can do.
Right.
And the heart that they have.
Right. And explain that too, because I think that that's so important and something that's fascinating. I mean, these dogs, like you said, their sense of smell is completely, you know, there's nothing that compares to it. The fact that they can go into an area that a human could not. I've seen you talk about dogs that have been dropped 30 feet into
yes.
rubble or into an ocean or whatever it is, looking to do a rescue mission. There are all these things that dogs, they have a much different sense of, you know, senses in general
Absolutely.
Than we have. Can you explain some of those that how they stand out more than a human could?
Right. So let's just say they're looking for firearms. We have a dog called a mobile odor detection dog. We call them MOD dogs in our office. And that dog can, let's just say it's something not nefarious. You're coming to a football game. And again, there's 100,000 plus people. And, you know, it's a Saturday night game, but that morning you may have gotten up and gone duck hunting or gone to the range with your family or, you know, just gone had some regular good old American fun. Mm-hmm. And you have your jacket on and maybe there's some gunshot residue on your hands, or you have a couple of extra bullets or something that you've left in a pocket. And that dog can go through a crowd of 100,000 people, smell a plume up to a mile away. That odor can be 10 days old.
Right.
So maybe you picked up that jacket a week ago, but now you're at this game, you know, a week later.
Right.
And so the dog just comes and just sits in front of the smell and kind of lets his handler know, hey, something smells funny here. And so that's his command. He just stops and locks in and sits and just says, you know, hey, dad or mom, you need to check this out. He just smells funny.
Right. Can you explain the training that they have to go through for
it's
these kinds of
very
things?
Intensive. So we use 16 different vendors throughout the United States. So if somebody needs us in Northern California or Southern California or upstate New York, we have vendors that are spread out that they can go. And so when they get approved for, you know, they fill out the application with us mm-hmm. online, and then we have a police board that goes in and looks at their application. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we ask them, there's no wrong answer, but we ask them things like, you know, if you're a small department, how close is the next department to you that has canines that you can train with? Because how do you get better? You train with your peers.
Right.
And so if it's a, you know, a small department that maybe they only have one or two canines, they may say, well, the county next door, you know, has a canine team and they, you know, they work and we can go to those trainings. And so we feel that those applying should have a little bit of skin in the game. So when we give the bulk, so we give the dog and the training, they have to supply in their vehicle a aluminum insert, like it's a roll cage. So
oh, yeah.
So if something happens, the dog is, safe,
Right.
compacted in there, and a hot popper. So if your car, let's just say they've left it running, which a lot of cops do, and something faulty happens, and then the car overheats and it's turned off, it sets an alarm off and lets either dispatch or that officer know, hey, there's some movement in this car, and it's now 82 degrees. Now it's 88 degrees. Somebody needs, because a dog, as they kind of breathe through their mouth, so they can get overheated really fast. And accidents happen. And knock on wood, we have not had one ever happen to us in the close to 400 dogs that we've given. But again, we precautions make sure that they're protected going into it. So the department has to supply those two minor things. So that could set them back $1,000 or $2,000, just depending on how fancy they want to go on their equipment. And then our officers talk to those officers and that command and kind of fill them out and say, okay, how do you feel about this? Is this a brand new program you're starting? Or is this, did you lose your canine, maybe died of old age? What are we working with here? Again, there's no wrong answer. But, and then so they, somebody kind of handholds them. We have these volunteers that are amazing. They've been with me since day one. And one is the gentleman that you saw, Ted, that was crying. And he still says, I was so down and distraught. And he said, about 2 or 3 months after the passing of Bleck, I get a phone call and they said, hey, there's a lady on the phone. And her name's Christy Schiller, and she started a charity in your honor. And he said, I thought it was a joke. He said, I really didn't want to take the call. And so he came to meet me. He said, what made you start this? And I said,
Wait,
you.
and by the way, at that time, had he received another dog yet, or he was working with that one?
His department had already got him another dog. And that dog didn't work out, unfortunately. It turned on him. It was not one of ours. And, but again, we protect these departments. They come through us. So we have a 2-year health and working guarantee. So that dog ended up being a little, not mentally sound
Right,
and
having
had bit,
behavioral issues.
right, had bit 3 other people, handlers in his department. And had mauled him. And so they had called the vendor where they gotten the dog from, and they said, you drove off with it. It's yours now. Well, that doesn't happen with us because we're buying a lot of dogs at a time. So if anybody ever pulled that on us, we just say, well, we don't do business with you anymore. But we have the luxury to do that, whereas a lot of smaller departments don't. They've saved their money, they work so hard. And then maybe they don't get the training that they need.
Right, which shows immediately why a department should go through you as opposed to another way. Yeah, because there's a guarantee of what
Because, and we
kind
make sure, I mean, they fill out stats for us
of.
every month. So we don't want to know that it's the judge's granddaughter that was busted with a joint. I mean, everything's coded. So, again, we don't know the background on the suspects. But we just want the status of the dogs. And so, that they'll say, hey, this month in school, we found this much marijuana and, somebody had brought in vape pens. Now they're putting candy, they're tainting it and it's drugs, but it looks like gummy bears or it looks like, Lay's potato chips. And that's how the cartel is bringing over a lot of things. We had a bust on a school bus that fentanyl was up under the seats. We just had a bust here in Texas, $130 million worth of fentanyl in one stop. It was enough to kill 90 million people. That's 3 times the size of Texas. And no one's alarmed about this?
And
That's
was that found out because of a canine?
yes.
Wow.
It was our canine that, you know, we have one officer, just one, that's taken over $1 billion by himself off the street.
Okay, wait, so explain this. So for most departments, could it be a bunch of different numbers? So maybe one department only has one canine.
Yes.
Cop, duo, what do you call them, by the way?
The canine teams. They're
it's canine
just,
teams. Okay, so mm-hmm. they might just have one officer and one canine, and then some teams, do they have five? I mean, how do they
yes.
work?
Okay, so yes. So
all
like,
different sizes.
Yes, Houston Police probably has 40 canine teams.
Right.
And you know, the sheriff's department again probably has 40. So there's probably, you know, with all the outlying smaller like constable units and marshal units and things like that, there's probably at least 200 canines just in Houston. And I'd say the majority of them are ours.
Right. Okay. And so explain also the difference in their training, whether or not if they're a bomb sniffing dog, mm-hmm. do they get trained just for that? If they are,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. So explain the difference and how they can, you have to sort of have one dog for one thing, mm-hmm. I guess.
So we have in this industry, what's called a single purpose dog and a dual purpose dog. So a single purpose means they just have one job, mm-hmm. whether that's to go in and find firearms or drugs or whatever their discipline is. When it's dual purpose, that means that they are, in addition to that, a patrol dog, which means they can apprehend. We never use the word attack because, again, you wouldn't, if someone was trained, if someone's a sniper and they're a Navy SEAL, you wouldn't say he's a part-time serial killer. No, I mean, this is what he's trained to do. So these dogs aren't trained to attack. They're trained to do a job. And when you ask them to do said job, they do it. So that is a dual purpose dog. So one that apprehends plus either drugs or explosives are going to be your two main things. That one dog cannot do drugs and explosives because it's too many scents. That by the time that they got to court and they said, okay, what's your dog trained on? Well, it's trained to find cocaine and marijuana, but it happened to find this gun. Well, too bad, so sad. In other words, it's not trained for that. So that's probably going to get thrown out.
Really? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Like it was an accident. It wasn't.
You're right. So if they're just trained for firearms or explosives, you know that. And so basically it all starts out the same. They'll go through a basic handler course, mm-hmm. the officer and the dog.
And they usually, it's better if they're trained together.
Right. Yes. Well, a lot of most of the dogs that that we get from our vendors, they'll go to Europe to get the dogs because, again, Belgian Malinois, German Shepherd. In other words, the breed was derived in Europe.
Oh, and I see that. So it's not as easy as going to your local rescue.
No. Oh, no, no, no.
It's just taking a dog that looks like they'll be aggressive and they'll go get someone you want them to
and
get.
And look, when I'm not going to lie, Rachel, when I first started this, I'm like, who's going to play me in the movie when Disney makes this and we're going to go to the pounds? And I can't believe nobody's thought of this. And we're going to get all the dogs that didn't have homes. And this is just going to be, you know, a warm, fuzzy. This is going to be great.
Right.
Well, the problem is, I'm not saying that some of those dogs wouldn't or couldn't work out. And that you do see some stories about that. But they just don't know their backgrounds. So you're putting a lot of training and effort into a dog that maybe it makes it part of the way and it's obedient and it's got some drive. It wants to smell things. And then the first time it hears gunshots, it's like, oh, hell no. Get me out of here. I don't want any part of this. And then maybe that triggers something from their past that you don't know, adopting the dog. And that they were could have been abused, and then all of a sudden they turn. This way, when we get these dogs, I mean, they're registered, they're titled, the majority of them. I mean, they you get to walk through and a lot of these departments have had to what I call make do, you know, anything that they can get up until now. And but when they can walk through and you say, you get to pick the dog of your dreams here, you go to the Bentley dealership and you can pick what you want, what you need, and what works with you. And if they don't feel comfortable choosing something, just, you know, our officers will go there and we'll help them, you know, tell, you know, this is what we're looking for. And they'll help them choose something to, because to asking me to do it in the very beginning, I said, that's like me picking your girlfriend or your wife.
Right. It's like a chemistry thing.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So maybe an officer doesn't really says, I don't want a German Shepherd. I want a Belgian Malinois. Or if it's a single purpose dog, I rather have a golden retriever than a lab.
And I was going to ask about the breeds, like what makes a good canine for police work? Does it matter that, I mean,
the dog that will do its job and be passionate about it is what makes.
But how do you know that? Do these companies that, do they take them from birth and they sort of
when they go to Europe, they'll go through a picking process. Mm-hmm. And so we consider a dog a puppy up until 18 months to 2 years.
Okay.
Because most of the dogs will start getting imprinted at, let's say, 9 months. Some of them from as early as birth, they'll start giving them scents and having them play with things. You know, if they've got a high food drive or something like that, they'll put a tug, like a burlap tug. Mm-hmm. And if that dog, that puppy, at 8 weeks, you see them latch on, you're like, wow, they really have a lot of drive. And so they'll get to go and pick them out. And maybe in a school, they may say, you know, the German Shepherd you have here to the vendor is, we really like that dog, but he's got a black face, or, you know, his eyes look a little scary. We're going to go with the golden retriever. And that's fine. I mean, they can choose whatever they want. And people maybe feel less threatened by they call it floppier dog.
Right.
And so that makes a huge difference. So then what, that dog has maybe had the basics from that vendor. So they're potty trained, they can sit and stay, you know, but they're waiting for you to tell them, hey, we'd like this dog imprinted on drugs, or we'd like it imprinted on firearms.
Got it.
And so they may not, they have some dogs that are completely finished. You walk in and say, I'd like that supermodel, and I would like Miss October, and I would like, you know, the one with all the titles and the awards, and okay, that's fine too.
Right.
So they can go in and choose whatever they want, and then they start the process together. And so then that training lasts about 10 to 12 weeks.
Okay. Which and again is where they're really solidifying
their bond, their together.
Relationship, their bond. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
And so then they'll go through that together, and, you know, then, you know, everybody graduates at the end, and we'll have our donors come and, you know, bring their family, and they feel a connection. I mean, it's so great after we went through what we did, defunding the police, and we saw how that went. And mm-hmm. But to have, I feel like the market almost is like the real stock market. You know, we kind of go on highs and lows of what the media turns us towards. And so, you know, you will see maybe somebody has captured a vehicle extraction. I know for some reason we get a lot out of California. People, you know, down the 405, and all of a sudden you'll see a dog fly in the side of a car, you know, to pull a guy out. Mm-hmm. And so people see an 8-second clip, and, you know, it's like going to the Super Bowl. If you see, Travis, you know, Kelsey throw somebody to the ground, you go, yeah, that's what he does. He tackles people.
Right.
Well, he does a lot more than that. And that's exactly what these dogs do.
Right.
So I think people that have misnomers judge from those short clips or, you know, see something like that and say, oh, no, they're aggressive. No, they're not. Now some can be, certainly, but these guys, you're talking, they devote, it's almost like having an extra job, just taking care of the dog, training with the dog. They spend more time with that dog than they will their spouse. And then the
But they
dog
do
goes home
bring
with him at night.
the dogs home, and the dogs sleep in their home and know their families. So there is a domestic part to it, and they're treated, people pet them, right? I mean,
Yes. And look, I'm not gonna, because I'll have some people out here in the industry going, oh my God, she makes everybody sound like Lassie. Look, there is a time and a place for everything. And we do have some dogs that I would say you're not going to have that dog serve as a pet hanging out on your couch while you watch football. When that gate opens and he sees dad with a leash and he's got to get into a certain car, he knows it's game time. And these dogs get very hyped up. So we want to make sure that they try to separate this is their job and this is their home. Because you don't want somebody to get lax. And next thing you know, maybe a toddler is pulling an ear or something like that. And you think, oh, my dog's safe. And, you know, somebody gets a nip.
Of course. I think what's interesting too is you see these. Well, you hear a lot of stories about people who take pit bulls, for example, and just almost treat them pretty poorly and treat them to be aggressive, because they think that that is what serves as being a protector or protecting their family or protective in general. And I think we see a lot of that backfire because of this stigma that pit bulls are scary animals and not safe. I don't believe that. I have two pit bulls. I have a young daughter. I feel very safe. And two of them I got at rescues, and I knew that they were abused. At least one of them was tied to a pole, had staples in her head. It clearly has some issues with needing affection from men, and obviously had an issue with men. It's more scared of men. But you know, it's also different. Like, I've had trainers, scary trainers to me. They're scary. And they do not train my dog to be a biter, but they are also training their dogs in a way where their dogs are mostly kept in a cage. They take them out, they do the biting with them, they do like all these commands with them, which I don't understand because I want to cuddle with my dog. But it's a different type of training, of course. And which gets me to actually what I want to talk about. You talked about firearms. Is it about the smell of the gunpowder? How would they alert on a firearm?
Yes, and I have to tell you, one of the when it clicked for me after watching a million hours worth of training, I was in training all afternoon yesterday, watching. I was at one of our vendors in Southern California, and we had taken the team and gone to LAX, and the international terminal, I think it's E for them, but people were getting off of the planes coming in. But this is all people coming in from Dubai, from Pakistan, and I had never seen certain kiosks, you know, like the really like Brazilian coffee. In other words, you have a lot of the different smells and things that, you know, are coming in, and you know, you see the people getting off. And we had again the mobile odor detection dogs, and they were going through, and this one dog that we had kept hitting on a wheelchair. And it was a little old lady in the wheelchair. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, she's not a terrorist. I'm like, is our dog messing up? Like, so it's hit on this wheelchair again. So then another flight comes in, and the wheelchairs have like serial numbers on the back. And maybe it's 001 LAX or something. Well, I noticed that now it's an old man in the wheelchair, and the dog keeps going back and stopping at the wheelchair. And I'm like, okay, I know that they don't have anything. Well, this was a Monday. apparently on Sundays is the day that maintenance at LAX works on the wheelchairs is one of the things, but they oil them and, you know, maintain them, like fix the tires and whatever they need to do. The same oil that they use on that is the oil that you use on your gun to clean it.
Wow.
And I was like,
well, that shows how amazing their sense of smell is, but it also shows that they can make mistakes, which is what I brought up to you off air. And I want to talk about that for a second. A friend of mine has a security company that, you know, deals with high flow areas, and
events,
and they mostly are hired. They're hiring that extra level of protection with getting canines. And they had said to me recently, you know, I've hesitated now on doing it because, we've found a couple times that the dog has hit on something and we've cleared out a huge section of people only to find that it is a mistake. And so is that about the training? So many new smells of things that are terrible are upgraded or can be changed so many times, or like, what does that mean? How do they fix that? So it can be 100% of the time they're getting it right, or can
well,
it not?
Well, it's training, of course. You know, it's how attuned. It's almost like, do you remember we were little and Fred and Ginger, and they watch them dancing together, you know, ballroom dancing, and they just look, or like Dancing with the Stars, and it's just everything looks in unison.
Sure.
That's how the level to what these guys train. Mm. So they have to, obviously dogs can't talk, so they have to really watch their dogs. And, you know, when they catch on something and they smell a smell, they lock in, and it's called a passive alert. Okay, you can see a dog when it starts to get a little more excited, you know, the hair kind of raises up a little bit, the eyes get a little wild, you know, and now he's locked in on that smell, and he's sweeping and, you know, going at a pretty high rate of speed. Maybe the handlers, you know, they want to sweep out a room. Let's say you have the Republican National Convention.
Sure. Yeah.
And so they're in there, and they're in there a couple of times a day, making sure that, you know, everything's up to status quo. And now all of a sudden that they have to watch that dog's command, that other words, wait, we're running along and I locked on something, and then maybe the dog moves on a little bit and then comes back and like, let's double check this. And, or maybe they've smelled that scent and it's a plume and it's coming in, it's mobile. And so that officer has to figure out, okay, he's locked in on something, so we have something in this area. And again, one of the things, like I mentioned earlier, that these dogs have such great smell that they can smell days after something was there. So, and a lot of times these, when you go to rent a dog, let's say for an event, the school says, I'm going to call the ABC canine company, and they're going to send a dog twice a year, and we're not going to tell you when it's going to sweep at the school.
Right.
Well, again, is that dog in training? How old is it? Is it green? Is the handler green?
Right.
Are they training together? In other words, what are you getting? What are you getting for what you're purchasing? So if you say, I only want a finished dog, nobody's going to ask for that. And I want a handler that's been doing this for at least 5 years, but they're not. So they're getting people that are young, that are going through the program, and they're learning on the job too, but they're just learning on your dime.
Exactly. Oh, okay. So I guess my follow-up question for that is, are there companies that, I mean, it sounds like there are a lot of companies that hire out on an event basis. So are there companies that you trust more that have more seasoned things? Should they be getting it from their local police department? I mean,
I'm a cheerleader for law enforcement. So I would, you know, obviously reach out to, if I had a big event. So let's say Texas A&M, you know, there's 100, it's the largest university in the world. So any given time, there's 100,000 people on that campus. And you may have dignitaries, you may have the Bush School is there, you know, all kinds of people that affluent that come to visit. So they may start sweeping two nights before somebody comes. So maybe the event's on Saturday, they're going to come through and they're going to sweep on Thursday.
And then does that mean they know the baseline of smell?
Yes.
Too?
Yeah, yes. Okay. And so that way, if something changes day of the event, they're like, wait a minute, he didn't lock on this before, or they brought in, you know, a tray of, I don't know, chopped up watermelons. Right. And, but wait, it's got a false bottom. That tray, why is my dog hitting on this and didn't hit on it before? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean,
of course. Yeah.
And so a company maybe, and you know, that's hosting the event comes along and says, hey, our event is from 1 to 5 o'clock on Saturday. Well, if they show up at 1 o'clock, leaving at 5, they're fighting the crowds. They're fighting, but they're paying, the person buying is paying for those 5 hours. I want somebody starting 3 or 4 days before. I want there to be an exit plan. Right. I want there to be, you know, if you do find something, how do we get these people out? You know, I want going into a situation, you want to know 10 different ways to get out of it. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah.
I just want to hear you talk about some of the stats, because the stats that I read that you sent me were so unbelievable.
I still can't believe it myself.
Yeah. I think it's really important for people to understand what these dogs have accomplished since you've been doing this. Can you talk about
that? So we keep up with the stats. Again, football is pretty big here in the South. Mm-hmm. When I was watching, when I first started this 15 years ago, I was watching a football game and they had a kid from college, mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel, and he was running, and it was like, he ran for 1,000 yards in high school, and you know, he's the fastest kid, and he does this, and he did 5,000 yards here. I don't know what all the stats are, but you know, they show all the high school stats, you know, by the time they made it to college. And then when they get to college, I mean, when they get to the pros, they talk about, you know, he won the Heisman, or you know, all the different things. Mm-hmm. And so I said, that's what we need to do to keep people engaged as a donor, mm-hmm. or just somebody that's interested. People want to know, again, the return on investment or the stats. And so we make them, you know, turn in their stats. So, if they get a bust, they turn over like photos to us and, you know, what all that they found. And we work with the DEA, and drug prices change just like the stock market. Mm-hmm. So I have a drug sheet that says, okay, summer of 2024, you know, a kilo of cocaine may cost $35,000. So all of a sudden I will look, if you'd ask me, this is what's so crazy, I have to digress 1 second. If you'd told me 20 years ago, you're going to work closely with law enforcement in your future life, and lots of drugs and lots of firearms. And I'm like, good Lord, am I going to marry somebody in the cartel? Am I going to break, you know, I would have just thought, what? I was arrested for dancing on a bar. Wait, what? If you would have said, this is going to be your life, this is crazy.
Right.
And I can remember the first time I walked into the DEA, and I'm like, okay, I brought my Big Chief tablet and I've got my red bottoms on, and I want to learn. They're all looking at me like, who is this crazy lady? Well, so if I will get, let's say, a lot of loads, recently I've been getting a lot of China white heroin, and it's coming from Bolivia via the border. Mm-hmm. And then it's coming in. And this is what they don't tell you about, like, the border. People want to say, okay, it's Mexican immigrants. No, it's a lot of people that come through other countries, Nicaragua, Bolivia, right. Things like that, that will come over. And so we have removed to date $8 billion in contraband. Billion with a B. Wow. If you would have, I couldn't even wrap my head around those kind of numbers when I started this and had no idea. And somebody told me when I started, don't be the lady that just gives dogs. Be the lady that's informed that the departments need. Mm. So if they don't have a dog, I can assure you, they didn't have a program set up how to keep up with the dog stats. Mm. And I would go to a lot of big departments and say, how do you keep up with your stats? And they were like, we don't. Why would you? Because if I'm going to the government or I'm going to a donor and saying we have a huge influx of meth or fentanyl in this area, how can you say that with confidence and that you have the numbers to back it up?
Mm-hmm.
And so they, again, it changes like the stock market. So if another drug, let's say fentanyl, is heavy, of course, they're cutting a lot of drugs with fentanyl, you know, cocaine, things like that. But if they're bringing something in, you may have less of a supply of something else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so port towns, I grew up in a port town. The border, obviously, these are entryways to come in. Our ports are wide open. And I always tell politicians, you want to get on a bandwagon to get somebody's attention? Talk about the ports. Hmm. I mean, they have their own separate security. Some of them have no security. Hmm. And this is where they're doing, you know, they're coming in on boats or shipping containers and things like that. And so by the time when I started this, I took the United States and I sliced it up in six different quadrants, because in the Northeast, you may have a different price for average of cocaine than you have coming in from South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more it changes hands, the more the price goes up. So if they bring it over and then they found a mule, you know, to traffic it in, and then maybe it goes to another big city, and then now they're going to drive it up to Chicago. I mean, who, you know, who knows the connections they have, but they're going to drive it up. Every time it switches hands, that's when the value has to go up, because then you have to pay off somebody else.
Right.
And when you see the amount of drugs, and I tell people, I'm a lady that sat the majority of the last 15 years in a carpool line. Why in the hell am I doing this?
Right.
And it's just insanity to me, because it's all around us. And I think the media, the politicians, the media, it's just how they put a spin on things. If they want to draw attention to something, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. But I just wonder to myself, why are departments, or why am I still out there begging for money? Mm. We've never gotten one cent from the federal government or the state government.
Hmm.
Not 1 cent.
Even though it's so clear that there's a huge need.
Huge.
Huge, huge need for these canines to be deployed, whatever you call it.
Right.
Given to schools for protection, given to the border, like you're talking about.
I've been to Washington, D.C. More times than I can count. And I said, look, if you guys have another plan, I'll help you raise money for it.
Mm.
I mean, but to me, the biggest fool in the room with a plan is better than the smartest guy in the room with no plan.
Right.
And I know this works. We're protecting 2.5 million kids a day.
Mm.
And I just thought when I came up with this, people would just be lined up. Politicians, the government, and they're not. And I don't understand it.
Let me ask you a question. The schools that we've read about and seen recently with the school shooting, for example. Were those schools, did those schools have a canine?
No.
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 If they had, there is a chance that it would have
again,
been.
It's a deterrent. I would look in the Disney
By the way,
movie.
I've seen it at airports. You see
Right.
the people that see just the dog, and
Right.
you watch these people go in a very wide circle. So to me, that's a deterrent. I'm like, oh, that guy probably has something going on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But
I want to stay far away.
But I know what you mean. Like, if you know that there are certain dogs in certain areas, you are not bringing your drugs
No.
that day. You are not doing
No.
something that day if you are scared of what the consequence
And
could be.
If you're hiring a company that says, I'm going to come in twice a semester, or two times, you know, during the school year, a kid will say, or anybody that's, I'll take that chance.
Right.
In other words, what are the chances that I'm going to hit on that day?
Right.
No.
So you mentioned earlier, you have almost 500 applications now from whether
pending.
It's pending from people in healthcare, from schools, from police departments. How often are new dogs being, like we were talking about in Europe, being bred? And then also how often are dogs in America being lost in the line of duty?
Quite a bit. And there is an officer down Memorial Page, and it every time a canine passes, you know,
Mm-hmm.
they will, you know, post it there. And it's pretty significant. It's more than it should be.
Right.
And I'm actually working right now to try to do a breeding program with the government. And I presented Congressman McCall's office something, and he said, this is brilliant. He goes, why are we not doing this? And I said, we need to, if we bred them here and we knew what we were getting, we wouldn't have to go to Europe. We wouldn't have to be begging another country that, you know, please give us what you have and sell us. Because a lot of times, how do we know that they're selling us the best possible thing?
Right. And also, I'm just curious for men or women who want to get into this or thinking of getting in the police force, do they have to have dog training before they have police training?
No, no, they don't. But a lot of times when you become a police officer, the majority of the time, you're not going to go directly into canine. You're going to be an officer, I would think, a few years first, to kind of get everything, you know, under your hat, you know, how to do.
Well, it's like being a doctor. You have to kind of do all the rotations, I'm
yes,
assuming,
yes.
And get good at it all to,
you know,
find one thing you want to do.
Commissioner Bill Bratton's wife, Ricky Kleeman, sits on my advisory board. And I was at dinner with him one night, and he said, I'm sure you've been around him. He's kind of a pragmatic, stoic, you know, quiet man. And he said, was your dad a cop? I said, no, sir. He said, grandfather, uncle, sheriff. Mm-mm. He said, you got in law enforcement and you didn't know anything about it? I said, no. And he said, how do you get the guys to listen? I mean, you know, being a civilian and a woman, it's just got to be tough. I'm just curious, coming from your side. And I said, well, you know, I said, when I started, these guys were so appreciative, and they still are, but they would have taken, if I said, I've only got pink poodles, they would have said, please sign us up because we're so desperate. We need this tool so bad. And I said, so now, of course, they, you know, tell me, I want the aerodynamic ninja version of, you know, whatever it is they've seen. And I said, so in the beginning, I would tell them my daughter was in Montessori school. So I'd say, crisscross applesauce, and you worry about your work. Mm-hmm. You don't worry about your neighbor's work. And he said, if I ran the New York Police Department and said, crisscross applesauce, they would have me in a van off to a rubber room somewhere. And I said, well, you know, the officers that I've worked with have been so generous. They may not can write a check for $20,000, but they're so generous with their time. And they say, hey, we're going to turn to here to train. Would you like to tag along? Would you, you know, we're going to this conference. Would you like to go and learn more? So right. I'm so appreciative of those that have taken me under their wing.
Are you mostly in the fundraising business at this point? I mean, is that your big mission?
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. That's a blood sport in itself. And, you know, that you have friends that are established and they're wealthy. You hate to keep coming back or approaching them and saying,
of course,
hey, you know, you don't want to be somebody who flinches when they see you coming. Like, but at the same time, we've had people that say, you know, I'm the CEO of this company and my grandchildren go to this school. How do I make sure that they have a vehicle, a dog, whatever it is they, I want to underwrite the whole thing because I don't want anything to happen to my children or my grandchildren. And so people get it in that aspect.
Sure.
And look,
but do they have the power to actually donate to a specific school if they wanted to? I mean, I guess the school would have to be on board for it.
The school would have to be on board.
Right.
And, but they need to have a school resource officer or they do a contract through the local police or their sheriff's department that they have an officer.
So the school does have to incur some expense to keep that animal and the police officer on staff after.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they do have to be committed.
And yeah, but it's just, it's such a great feeling. And, you know, the reward isn't instant. Yes, it starts off. And if somebody calls me and says, look, we're in, perfect example, Stillwater, Oklahoma, is the home of Oklahoma State University. I think we've given 3 or 4 dogs there. And when they called and said, you know, we need this. So immediately what I do is I go to my Rolodex and or contacts, I guess is the new word now. I had somebody the other day say, what's a Rolodex? And I was like, we can't be friends. But you know, I'll go and say, do I know anybody that is an alumni of the school? Do I know anybody that lives close by or that may have a connection or somebody's kids that may go to that university? And then next thing I do is I go to telling all my secrets here. I'll go to the tax rolls. Who's the richest person? Who pays the most?
Right.
For a house or taxes or things like that. And then you start the Google process and say, okay, look, I think I have over 1,000 Google alerts. I have an account that just does nothing but handles that. But if K9, Jeff Bezos, Lauren Sanchez, Bill Gates, if that's mentioned with K9 with a C or K9 with a K, it sends me an alert. If a dog takes a crap in Elon Musk's yard, wherever he's living, I'm going to get an alert that says, you know, K9 dog, but something, you know, with Elon or Tesla or, and because I just keep waiting for them to call.
Right.
And I said, I can't be fired. I don't take a salary. 95% of everything we raise goes straight back to the dogs.
Right.
And it's just somebody, I just don't want somebody to come to me when it's too late and say, we could have prevented this.
And that was what I was just going to say. So people might not be
familiar.
As familiar, but also you said you're having this hard time. You can't believe that people in politics, especially, are not like all on board with this because until it affects them personally, I feel like
people
don't get it. And they're like, well, what is the purpose of paying this extra expense to have a dog at a school, for example? But when that finally occurs, they would have said, I can't believe we didn't invest in this for the last 5 years when we could have to prevent just today. I mean, that's the whole point of it, right?
And just think about it. I mean, in the overall scheme of things, $20,000 or $25,000, I mean, what their investment, split that up to what that is a day in a school.
Right.
And it's nothing.
Right.
That's
and
nothing.
And then preventing the losing a life of a child.
Absolutely.
So that wouldn't even matter. Are you guys doing fundraisers, like a big event that you have once a year or anything that?
We have kind of shifted to donor salons. So in other words, instead of investing money in a big rubber chicken dinner, where, look, I don't want to go to a black tie. I can't imagine, you know, I mean, there's just so many every night of the week.
I know. Yeah.
I'm sure Palm Beach and Texas is the same way that, you know, sometimes there's two and three events per night. So what's going to make you stand out? I rather go to somebody and say, you have this beautiful home. Love to show it off. Can you invite 50 or to 100 of your friends? And, you know, I'll give a talk and we'll have a dog come in. And we know that everybody coming there, in a sense, I don't want to say pre-qualified, but they already know the cause. They're invested. They may have, you know, children in school there, or they've been affected personally somehow, like by drugs, or maybe somebody's overdosed or something like that. They say, you know what, this could have prevented my loved one from dying. So we find that, you know, that way you don't have a huge overhead with programs and entertainment and, you know, because everybody has to make a living, but those kind of things are what adds up.
Right.
So if you hit it that way, and these private donor salons, I just think is a much more intimate way of getting your message out.
Right. I'm sure people listening are fascinated by this whole story. There's so much more I could talk to you about, even on a personal level, that, you know, maybe we'll do a whole nother time.
I would love that.
I just feel like there's so much to get to with you, but I really wanted to focus on your cause and the dogs and potential fundraising for you, because I think it's so important. I know in the future that someone, you know, as big as a Lauren Sanchez, you know, and her, you know, Jeff Bezos, fiance, whatever he is at the moment, you know, getting involved in something like this would really change. I mean, it doesn't change what it's about, because it's just as important, but you just need that eyeball of somebody to make it a little more mainstream. Because I think, as the reason why I had you on, it's just people really do not understand the importance of having this canine protection around them.
And a lot of it is, you know, we'll get a big bust on TV and in, you know, the news. We make sure we do their PR too throughout the lifetime. So when they turn in everything to us, we reach out to magazines, to newspapers, to, you know, we'll send out press releases for them. This is
amazing.
How many suspects they took down. And somebody will say, hey, I just saw that your dog got $1 million in cash, because dogs can sniff for currency too.
Wow.
And so we have currency dogs. We have, do you remember Jared from Subway?
Yes.
Okay.
And I remember he was caught with like
the
a disc?
Thumb drive.
Yes,
right?
That was insane.
We place those dogs too, lithium battery dogs. So I had a sheriff call me and say, I need one of those porn dogs. And I said, sir, a what? And he said, a porn dog. And I said, porn? He said, no, porn. And I said, dogs can't read. And he goes, no, but I saw it. You got the pedophile. And I said, no, he got the jump drive off of his computer. They smelled for the lithium battery, and whatever was on it was on it. But, you know, we'll get a big bust, and let's say it's $1 million cash. Somebody says, what are you going to do with all that money? And I said, we don't see any of that money.
Right.
And I think that's where the misnomer comes in. Well, you've taken all this in contraband and all these other things. Why don't you get to keep any of it? Because that's not how it works.
Right. Of course.
And
if people want to help, tell the listeners where they can get involved.
Canines for Cops and K9S4COPS.org.
Great. Also tell people where they can find you on social media.
Social media is, I'm pretty much at KK Schiller, S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R, on every platform, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. And I'm as easy to find as RuPaul during Pride Month. I am out there. I couldn't hide if I wanted to.
I'm just curious before I let you go, is there something that you are really hoping for in your future that you really feel like is your mission? I know you're living your purpose right now, honestly.
It is. It's just every day I wake up and I eat this, I breathe this, and this is not the latest accessory or a passing fancy. And this is my life. And I will die on this hill. And I think this is something that both sides can get behind. Mm-hmm. So if, somebody is not pro-gun, that's what the dog is for. Mm-hmm. And again, it's got nothing to do with politics. This is a bipartisan issue.
Right.
This affects everybody. And if you think it doesn't, ask some of those parents in Sandy Hook, or ask people here in Texas that have been in church shootings. Yeah. I mean, it affects everybody. It sees no socioeconomic class. Right. So if you think you're going to be unaffected, think again.
Right, right. Christy, thank you so much for joining us.
You are a doll, and I'm going to hit you up for a donor salon in Palm Beach.
100%. I was just going to say, hey, you have to come visit me. We have to organize one of those. And also, I'm assuming you guys do this because you said something about going to schools, but I would think it makes a lot of sense for you guys to be speaking at schools or having some of these cops come in with their canines and explaining to kids.
Absolutely.
That's a great path for these kids to take too. I mean, I feel like nowadays no one knows what kind of line of work they want to go into, especially at a young age. And what an honorable profession. And kids love dogs. And,
they
I
love
just think
everybody loves dogs. And if you don't, well, surely there's a 12-step program for you somewhere to love a dog.
Exactly. Then you have a lot of problems that we can't even fix, maybe. But all right. Well, I really appreciate you. We are going to meet in person.
You're a doll.
I can't wait for that. And best of luck.
Thank you, honey, so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.